Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to You Are Okay with Blog Talk Radio. This is Mara, and Bob is with me.
Good morning.
It's so nice to be here today, and as we promised, we're going to talk a bit about Bob, and we certainly invite any and all of you to call in. The call-in number is 646-595-3584. We welcome you to this day, to our first one-hour program. We're going to start with Bob sharing one of the passages that he found for us today.
Good morning, listeners. I hope everyone's doing well. I woke up this morning and I started to think about what passage I wanted to use, and as what normally happens to me is I just think of a book that I've read, or I think about a time in my life, and I started thinking about the first time that I went to Peru, and I was at Machu Picchu. I've been so blessed to have been able to go there several times, and the first time that I went, I remember finding a tree and sitting there against that tree and just feeling so connected to the earth and remembering that the clouds that were there, and it was a beautiful, beautiful blue sky, and looking up at Huayna Picchu, the big peak that's there. And I was reading a book, and I started thinking about what was I reading then, and I remember I was reading a book called Compassion by the Dalai Lama. And I went to the closet to try to find the book because I thought, okay, I'm drawn to this book today. I need to. I'll open it up, and whatever I run into is what I'll go with this morning. And as I was looking for the book, I remembered that I had given it to someone else, and I thought, okay, the internet, this great, awesome repository of information, and which is great for this show because you could listen any time that you want. But I found a passage or a little story or whatever you want to call it out there on the internet by the Dalai Lama about compassion. And it's titled, How to Achieve Happiness. For a start, it is possible to divide every kind of happiness and suffering into two main categories, mental and physical. Of the two, it is the mind that exerts the greatest influence on most of us. Unless we're either gravely ill or deprived of basic necessities, our physical condition plays a secondary role in life. If the body is content, we virtually ignore it. The mind, however, registers every event, no matter how small. Hence, we should devote our most serious efforts to bringing about mental peace. Actually, I'm going to stop there and drop down to the last paragraph, because as I read this, it's going to take a little while, and I think that just nailed it right there, that we need to devote our most serious efforts to bringing about mental peace. And he closes in saying, I believe that at every level of society, familial, tribal, national, and international, the key to a happier and more successful world is the growth of compassion. We do not need to be religious, nor do we need to believe in an ideology. All that is necessary is for us to develop our good human qualities. It really resonated with me, these passages, because he's so right. We don't think about breathing. We don't think about our bodies at all. We probably abuse our bodies at times and don't even maybe even mind that we did. And unless we have a problem, our body just goes on. But our mind does register everything. And I think he's so right in saying that, you know, we develop our good human qualities. And I think in order to do that, we need to meditate, because that's what brings mental peace to me, is through meditation. What do you think of the passage, Mara?
I love the passage, and as is so often the case, we are so in sync. And believe it or not, folks, as you're going to find out in a few minutes, Bob and I are not sitting in the same room, although next week we will be, so you want to listen, and we're also going to be later in the evening, and we'll announce that again, but it's going to be a 6 o'clock event because Bob is coming to California. But this morning we talked for just a few minutes about what we were going to talk about, and we didn't talk about Bob's reading. But I always look for a reading to, or maybe I look for inspiration, and it amazes me that I also turned to the Dalai Lama this morning. I almost printed the passage, but I didn't. But what it basically said was, we need to start seeing ourselves as part of a global community. Seeing past the us and thems, to seeing ourselves as connected, everyone, no matter what community we're in. And so much of the discord and the disease that is in our minds, the lack of peace, the chaos, arises from this us and them thinking, this desire to prove ourselves better than others. So I love the passage. It's beautiful, and you're right. You get your connection through meditation. You really do. I'm thinking
it makes,
that's a...
You know, you make perfect sense there when you say that it needs to be, or the Dalai Lama, and that everything is so international now, just the Internet. We can be on the other side of the world within a day, and we can talk to people online with IM or on the telephone. And it's that I always think of God as just energy. And the one thing that science tells us is that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So if that means, you know, God is energy, that's all of us are energy. So all of us together are God. We're all just one little piece of what our spirit in totality of everyone. So it is, we do need to stop having the us and them. And it really needs to be, as the Dalai Lama says, that don't look at religion and ideology. Just look at it as, what it, you know, as Sri Yukteswar said in our first passage of the year was, you know, look at it as you're happy when other people are happy.
Yeah,
if we were to do that, it will create mental peace for you.
You know, yes, letting go of expectations about how other people should act really will create peace. It really will lift some of the burden of feeling responsible for the world. And, you know, if we can think of that energy mass that you think of as God and give it a name, I think why not, once again, this is what I propound, call it love.
Oh, I agree. It's just love. Love, love one another. That's all that it's about.
It really softens our approach to the universe, to every person, when you think about it as love. When you think about God as love. Love bless you. With that,
love
I think we'll...
You.
Thank you. With that, I think what we will do is we're going to do our normal sending love and unifying ourselves around the planet. We have no idea how many people listen to this program live. Well, we do have an idea how many listen live, but we also see large numbers of people calling in on occasion and hearing it later. So whether you're here now or you're here later, it's always now, because the only moment we get a chance to live is right now. And so we want you, when you come to hear the program at whatever time, to reach your arms out and touch our energy. It's waiting there for you. I've been trying to share some of my meditation practices, and I said to Bob this morning, when I meditate, I really don't think about chakras anymore, but I am doing that with all of you, and we'll do that a little bit later in the program today if we have time, because I remember in the beginning recognizing that I had an internal antenna that vibrationally connected to all of the energy of the universe. It was easier by going through the chakras. So we'll do the chakras later, and I'd like to introduce today, even though it isn't a meditation program totally, I would like to introduce the power of the most magnificent word in the universe, Om. It has a way of stilling all of the thoughts in your mind. And when you move past the idea of thinking in terms of chakras and lining up, when you say the magnificent word, Om. It opens your crown chakra and invites the universe to be a part of your meditation. And now, as we stretch our arms out, not quite as far as before, getting closer and closer together, someday we will be at a place where our arms will be hanging down at our sides, and we will be reaching and opening ourselves up to have space for all of the people who join us in praying in the name of love, in meditating in the name of love, in referring to the universal love that is part of our nature, instead of by words that separate us because of prejudices and discrimination, thinking about it in terms of one common precept, one common word, love. Today we reach our arms out, and as we do, we feel the electric charge of each other connecting. We feel the power of our circle of love growing as each person joins. We feel it going up and around the earth into the sides and around the earth, encasing it totally with love, and we send love. We send loving, healing, happy thoughts to all those who are in need. We open ourselves up, throwing our arms out so that as a massive group, we open our hearts and expose our heart chakra from whence all love comes. And we let it vibrate in the beautiful, beautiful imagery of green, sending forth love to all. We send forth to those who are in need. We send forth love to those whose conduct we do not respect. We send forth love to those who think that they have to harm and kill in order to be right. And we invite them to let go of their ways and to step into the now as a new person, believing in their connection and unity with all, believing in their value, knowing they are enough. Believing that all are enough and that we are connected, no part better than the other. And now, in this moment, they redefine themselves in terms of love. I'm going to leave you just a minute, possibly 2 minutes, with your thoughts. I'm going to play Sonosync. Yes, I'm falling in love with that group. Ships That Sail Away Forever, 2 minutes of it at max. I'm going to invite you to now feel the unifying glory of this circle of love. Feel and send out love. Just think, om. Open your heart chakra and send out love. Now let our love flow from us out to all, and let it also flow through our deeds and our words. Let's open our throat chakras and send loving words to others. And when we don't, let us forgive ourselves, remembering that we live in the now. Going to remind you that the phone lines are open. The number is 646-595-3584, and we're going to talk to Bob about Bob.
It's all about Bob.
You ready? You there?
I'm here. I'm ready.
Okay, so Bob, where do you live?
I live in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world, the home of UT. In the Longhorns. It's a been beautiful weather lately, just a high cedar count, which means I get a lot of allergies. So bear with me if I start to sneeze today.
Hopefully we'll remember to say God bless you. If not, we've got it going, or love bless you. So, Bob, can you tell me, do you know anything about the bats that live in downtown Austin under that bridge? Are they still there?
They're still there. I'm not sure. They migrate, so I'm not sure if they're there right now, but during some parts of the year, yes, they are there.
I find it interesting about bats because that's one of mankind's fears, and we've taken that fear and had it grow up into Bela Lugosi and vampires and all of those things. So when I found out that there were bats living under the bridge in Austin when I lived there, I was a little bit trepidatious. But... So have you ever seen them?
I have. It's beautiful, actually, to watch them fly out. You just see so, it's just uncountable, unfathomable how many of them there are that live there. And I guess it's because it's warm, they go there and stay under that bridge. But at a certain time of night, they all fly out. Really not night, kind of it's around sunset. It's a phenomenal thing to watch, actually. I remember a similar thing. I lived in Mexico for a while, and there was a place that was El Sótano de las Golondrinas, and a similar thing, it's a cave, and it is around that same time of night, you just see this mass ascension of birds, and it's just something phenomenal. The only thing that I could think that it's similar to is everybody's probably seen a migratory pattern of birds go across your yard as you're out in your backyard at some point in your life and you see the big pack of birds fly by, but this is just like 150, 200, 300, maybe 1,000 times more birds than that. It's just wonderful.
And so now when you saw those bats coming out, and I have a feeling that the initial reaction was fear before you moved to awe and wonder at the beauty of this thing.
Yeah, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what to expect, but it kind of, I remember as this is probably very interesting that you asked this because one of my first recollections of meditation actually were, I can remember I was in middle school, so about 10, 11 years old maybe, and I don't remember where I heard it, but it was somewhere I heard or read. I've always been kind of a library person and love to do research. So I probably read it in the library about meditation, and what I read was to lie still, on the floor and pretend that you're an eagle soaring over mountains or soaring over the plains or what have you. And that's what I always did when I was a kid, is I would lay down and think that I was a bird flying over mountains. And I'd never seen mountains in my life, but I'd seen pictures of them, and I just imagined what it would look like from up there and kind of just let myself think of nothing except what was around me as I was up there as an eagle. And it's sort of the same thing when I see that birds fly by like that, is I remember that peace that I felt when I would meditate that way.
That's interesting, because really one of the first times that I had a night vision was of me soaring around mountains and oceans, and I had like this gold cord hooked to my ankle. It was very interesting. It was one of the most pronounced night visions I've ever had, and I felt so free and so part of all that is. It was at the time when I was beginning to accept and believe fully in who I am and not challenge it. And that was just a wonderful experience. I think facing a fear like that and having that turn into a sense of awe at their wonder and beauty is just a glorious experience, because I firmly believe that fear is only as powerful as we allow it to be. So with that said, can you tell me, Bob, do you recall when we met?
I do. I was living in Santa Fe. It was about 6 years. Was it in 2001? Does that sound right?
Yes.
It was. I met you in the grocery store. You and a friend of mine were on your way, moving you to Austin, which is a coincidence, if you will, that
yes.
ends up that you ended up leaving Austin and I ended up migrating to Austin.
That's really right.
You were in the grocery store grabbing stuff to head on the road to move to Austin.
Munchies. I love munchies. I love salt. I'm a salt person. So we were getting our stuff, and then, of course, we had to have a proper proportion of cheese, which is protein to balance, obviously.
There you go.
No logic in that thinking, but it was fun. It was a fun time. Hey, Mary Jane, hello out there. I know you're listening. Hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome. So, have you ever wondered why we met?
I always wonder why I meet everyone. But I'm sure that, you know, it was the divine's way of putting us together, and since then we've talked and shared things with one another, and it's how this show has just kind of happened to happen. And there's a connection there with everyone that you meet in your life, really, and even those that you've met that have either gone on to passed on or have gone on into doing something else with their life that you don't know anymore. And it's interesting sometimes just to sit and think about the people that you don't fellowship with anymore and wonder what it was in their life that made it that you came together in it. And you usually, there's a lesson in it somewhere for everyone.
I agree. I think the energy of everyone I have ever known glistens in me, and I have a choice. I can either remember the things that may not have been so great, or I can keep that positive imagery of them and the good things that were part of the relationship and the friendship. And I have to tell you, Bob, I do have a here and the now answer for why we met. And that is that Bob is the best person to be running this switchboard. It makes me so nervous. I do it in the mornings when we do the meditation series. But frankly, I missed a caller last week. Bob's just good at it. And this morning we decided, or I suggested I do it. This will be the only Sunday where I'm the producer. Bob will take charge after this, because I'm like looking at everything and worried about asking questions. I like just talking. It's the easier chair, isn't it, Bob?
It is the easier chair, I think, because you're not focusing on looking at that screen to see if someone's calling in or watching what's going on. So it is difficult to be in that side, too.
So I'm giving it back. Okay, so, Bob, can you tell me, have you ever done the radio before?
No, I've never done radio before.
You've got a great radio voice. So now, why did you decide to do this with me since you had never done it before?
I had listened to your show, and I remember one morning you called and said that you had broken your hip and you needed me to do the show for you that morning or the next morning. And I felt panic, like the panic that one would feel with bats being flying over your head maybe, of what am I going to do? What am I going to say? How do I log in? I'd never done, been really on this site before other than to listen to the show, and something just told me you have to do it. You're supposed to do it. And then we had conversations about doing the show together, and it's fate, if you will.
Yeah, it is fate. It is fate. I'm going to refresh your recollection. I think that you actually were even acting in the production manager capacity for me one other time when you changed the time of the show because I was rushing from my parents' house in fog.
That's right. That's right.
And so you had that minimal experience with it, and once again, helping to make things be easy and flow simply for me. And I want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Over the course of this last year, very new year, so it's just been a few days, we have been doing a meditation series based on the book that I wrote back in 1997, Uniquely Created, Divinely Inspired You. And I kind of trust you, Bob, for telling me what I should do next and making suggestions. And one suggestion that you made that I took to heart was basically that we should do the whole Uniquely series of meditations at all. Then you suggested that I should try to somehow get the imagery from the book onto the website, the blog component of Blog Talk Radio, and I was successful in doing that. I have to tell you that those were two suggestions that are increasingly valuable and meaningful for me. Every day I find myself in a better meditative pose. I was thinking I was pretty good before, and I'm wondering, Bob, what caused you to suggest that we do the Uniquely series of meditations?
It was intuition. I remember one day listening to your show, and I was meditating, and it just had a gut feeling that there were a lot of people who needed to know how to meditate, or not that people don't know how to meditate, but they need to be reminded to meditate, and that they might need to be guided to meditate until they develop that ability to be able to meditate at any time at the drop of a hat. And it just came to me that, it needs to be done, and then, you already have the tool to do it.
Well, namaste. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is rather an unpleasant little component I want to put into the program, but in true synchronicity, Bob and I both happened to police the words uniquely created, divinely inspired you, basically uniquely created, and I came to a website that is called Uniquely Created Ministries. It's a very new website. It's a very new concept. I respect any person's way to the light. I respect anybody's way of helping them to feel valuable and important enough to believe God loves them. And I don't care how they go about doing that. I do not care what anyone calls God. But I do want to say to you today that the Uniquely Created Ministries is not a part of Bob and my plan. It is not a part of our program, and I've been using those words since 1998 publicly. So if you run across that, if it dings your dong, as they say, if it makes you feel more, if it makes you feel valuable, embrace it. But do not think that it is a series of messages that I embrace or that Bob embraces. Is that fair, Bob?
More than fair.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, So, do you have a favorite amongst the passages, and can you share it with us?
I do, and it's going to seem like I just took this one from yesterday or from Friday, but that is it, coupled with another one. And that one is, intuition will guide you if you let it. And intuition is what made the radio show start doing the meditation series. And I've always had intuition since I can remember, but I've always allowed the second passage here, fear, to block it. And that's what I've come, or what I do to, during my meditation, is try to push that fear back and to allow myself to use the intuition that I have. And everyone has intuition. Some of us have more intuition than others, and some of us are heightened sixth sensors. And we really do have gut instincts, and we really need to follow those, because it is it's a message to us that we're given for a reason. And a lot of times we let fear change how our initial reaction to something is, or to that moment where we were delivered the message intuitively. And I find that, you know, during my life, I've done that a lot. I've taken, you know, intuitively I know something, and then I start to think about it. I start
yes.
to rationalize it. I start to research it, analyze it, try to find out, you know, find out something more about it other than that I just know. And in doing that, you ruin it, you spoil it, you let that moment go. And you really waste a lot of time, quite frankly. So if you have an intuition, let it guide you. Let it guide you to where it needs to take you, where you need to be. Don't fight it. Don't be afraid of it.
That's wonderful. Bob, so how do you recognize the difference between Bob's thoughts and God's words?
Interesting question, because I kind of just know, but it's also I'll be thinking about something and something else will just pop into my head out of nowhere. And a lot of times those messages come in that what I call that hinterland of wake and asleep. Every morning I kind of, you know, hit the alarm and you've got your 10 more minutes. And it seems to be the time of day where I know I'm not, it's just things that come to me that are a feeling or a phrase that goes through my head that I would never think of myself. And it's nothing related to anything that's gone on during that day or that I'm have planned for the day. It just is something that's not me. I just know that it's not me.
And then what do you do? Do you record it? Do you write it down? Do you try to change? You've talked about fear that can drive away your intuition. And am I fair in saying that fear can cause you to ignore your intuition and to do
that's
what your mind...
Exactly what happens to me is that it makes me ignore the intuition a lot of times.
All right.
And it's, you know, maybe embarrassing to say, but, you know, admitting that I have the fear is the first step, right? So
absolutely.
Now embracing it and saying, you know, I have this intuition and I do need to write it down. And I used to write things down a lot, and I kind of just stopped doing that. And interesting, I bought a journal last time that I was with you, actually in California, when we went up to the little mountain town, remember?
Nevada City, yes.
Right, and I bought a journal, and I only wrote in it one time. So I think that's your message to me today is to keep that notebook by the bed and start writing those down, or whenever I have those thoughts, write them in my notebook or make a note of it on the computer, which is where I'm at most of the day.
Whatever works, because it's like that fear of bats. As they fly out, there's almost an immediate clutching, is probably the right word, of the throat chakra, the heart chakra. For me, the solar plexus, my stomach goes, and then just the awe and beauty of this creation of God's. Just awe and beauty. And that's what we miss when we ignore our intuition, is the awe and beauty that God's providing us an opportunity to invite into our lives. It truly is. what's amazing, folks, I will tell you, is that when I'm doing the daily meditation programs, an awful lot of what I'm saying are words that I haven't really thought through. They're intuitive thoughts that I'm sharing with you. And there are periods, as I told Bob, that I have a thought that's an, oh, yeah, moment. That's it. That's it. Perhaps one of the best ones is that when God said, I am that, he meant you and me. God is me. God is you. Wow.
We're all love. It's the we're each that little component, that energy that can't be created or destroyed.
Exactly. And so the better way to say that is when love said, I am that, love meant you. Wow.
And that we're all love.
Yeah, we're all love. What an opportunity. It's a scary obligation. It's a scary thing to actually believe that you're getting some sort of divine message through intuition. And the scary part is how we're indoctrinated. I think we're indoctrinated to think that we're going to be judged by what we do. And this intuition may not quite be in sync with the mainline form of thinking. So that's where the fear of judgment, the fear of not being enough steps in, and it quells our recognizing an opportunity to experience a joyful union with love. So now, Bob, tell us about your meditation.
I have, as I said, I started out when I was a kid. I don't know how I got to that point where, you know, where I found that passage that said to, you know, lie flat and think of yourself as an eagle. But I did that as I was a kid, and as I grew older, I read a lot of books, or, you know, sat in the bookstore in the library looking through books on how to meditate. And nothing ever really seemed right to me, and nothing ever really seemed wrong to me. It was just taking that time to be alone, or as you've said many times on the show, alone is all one. Taking that time to be with yourself and to let all the thoughts of your day just fall out of your head. Just take that time and kind of clear the space between your ears to make it calm. And sometimes for me, it could be preparing dinner. Knowing that, you know, I'm going to have friends and family come over and that they're going to enjoy the dinner that I prepare or the lunch that I prepare, and, you know, just chopping onions, thinking of only just, you know, where, you know, these onions have come from, you know, from the earth, and their energy is well and are going to give us energy. And so sometimes it's just in preparing a meal that I sort of just let everything else go and put my focus there. And I think sometimes just meditating really is just focusing on the right now. What is it in this moment that I need to do? And if that's I need to chop an onion, focusing on that and not allowing other thoughts of what I need to get done at work, what I need to get done for school, what I need to get done for with the kids, what I need to get done with anything else going on in your life. And that's one example. Another could be yesterday I was repotting some seedlings that I had grown last year that were kind of all clumped together, and I went and bought some pots, and just getting out there with the dirt and with the live plants in your hands and feeling the energy and just thinking of nothing else but let's get this being into the ground and into some dirt and see that life just blossom later this spring and in the summer. And that's another way of me meditating. And another way is to sit with a lit candle and watch that candle and think of nothing except watching how it moves and seeing the colors and feeling just at peace. There's many ways of meditating. Everyone has their own. And that's fine, everyone. And it doesn't matter whether it lasts for 2 seconds, 20 minutes, whether you're fortunate enough to have a whole weekend to yourself where you have nothing else to do but meditate. Just make sure that you take the time, because it does make you feel better. It makes you... It makes me lately, because I've been listening to the program at different times during the day, or sometimes I'll miss a day and I'll listen to two in another day. But it has made me take the time to meditate, not necessarily with the show, but before the show or after the show, or it reminds me that when I'm going to go to lunch to sit at my desk, you know, for 10 seconds and just say, breathe, take in 3 deep breaths and not think about anything other than that breathing, and then I'll go have my lunch and I'll feel more energized than I did prior to that. So it's just taking that little bit of time to re-energize yourself.
Time for Bob. Is that right?
Exactly. Time for Bob.
So
I have a coffee mug. It says it's all about me, and that's what I use at work. And, you know, I think everyone should have a coffee mug that says that, because collectively, we are me. Me is we. And we need to take that time for ourselves when it is all about me. It's a reminder to take that time.
You're right. You're right. Because me is the only person we have control over, you know, frankly. So, Bob, are there ever times when you forget to give Bob time?
Oh, sure there are. There's been, you know, times where maybe a year has gone by that I didn't maybe give Bob time or give Bob enough time. I don't think we can, maybe we can't ever give ourselves enough time. But yes, there has been. And I can, and looking back, I can remember that, you know, those are times when I didn't take time for myself. And, you know, during those times, I might not have loved myself either. And I think it reminds you that to love yourself, too, because you can't love anyone else if you don't love yourself.
So true, so true. I have to tell you, I think that I so many times will forget about me, and I allow the meditation component to kind of get put over on the shelf and make myself content with what I call mindfulness, not in the sense of negative in Mara's mind, but mindfulness in the sense of being always connected. But the connection is so slim. It's so slim. And I pull these Neil Donald Walsh cards. And during those times when I am putting me to the side, I'm putting my meditation practices to the side, when I'm allowing my job to consume everything about me to where there's only time for me to come home, sleep, and get up, which, by the way, now and again you have to do when you have a job like mine. But when I allow that to happen, I pull that Neil Donald Walsh card over and over and over again every day, day after day after day, I pull the card, if you don't go within, you go without.
Wow.
And what's amazing about that is one day I had one of those intuitive moments with that card when I had pulled it like 30 days in a row. And my friends and Bob, it wasn't that long ago that that happened, trust me. And I looked at that and I thought, oh my gosh. Within is peace. Within is my connection with the universe. And without doesn't mean just that I go without peace. It means I live with the whole rest of the people who haven't recognized the value of meditative practice. So I live in chaos, disorder, D-I-S-E-ease. I'm uncomfortable. I'm anxious. I'm bossy. I lose total touch of myself. And yeah, Bob, I don't think I like myself very much during those times. So now if I pull that card, I go, whoop, better go take a few minutes. Doesn't have to be a long time, like you said, a second. Just a few minutes to reconnect and breathe deeply. you don't have to go through a giant practice. You and I, this week we've talked about atmospheres, and I've talked about, I think everybody knows I have my chimes, I have my water, I have my incense, you know, wafting around me. I love the fragrance. Bob, do you have any techniques where you've created a special place just for you, where when you go to that place, the energy of your prior meditations is waiting, and love envelops you?
Oh, there's a couple places that actually, one is just sitting in a chair that I've had for a long time, and a place where I read, but I don't really usually end up reading. I end up skimming and kind of just talking with myself or talking with God. And I just feel comfortable, not because the chair is so comfortable, but just I feel peace there. And it's just in my bedroom next to my bed, and I can just sit there and feel very comfortable and I can allow nothing to come into my mind, or allow one thing to come into my mind. The other places in my office, I have set up a table that is low to the ground, and I usually will sit there, and I have incense, and I have a lot of candles and a lot of different stones that I will sometimes pick up a stone and just hold that in my hand and kind of, what is it that people will buy? The worry rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
That people will pick up. And I don't think of them as worry stones. I think you can feel an energy in the stones, and I'm sometimes just attracted to a different one in different times. A lot of times I'm attracted to a piece of rose quartz that I have, or a piece of hematite, and I'll just use those and hold them. Or actually, you gave me a rock that has the word patience on it. And I pick that one up a lot of times, and I look and say, you know, here's this problem that I'm having right now, and I just need to have patience. And I just meditate on that word, patience, and just sit and say, patience. Have patience with yourself. Have patience with others. Have patience with yourself. Have patience with others. Patience, patience, patience. And other times, as I said, it's just when I'm cooking or working in the yard, or walking in the yard, just walking around looking at the grass maybe. But I do have those areas where in the house where I feel the most excited inside is in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And just
too.
Anywhere there, I always feel more connected and feel that it's a place that I belong.
Me too. I always tell people that my eyes get two shades lighter blue the minute I drop down the valley into Santa Fe. I just drop out of the mountains into the valley. My eyes just lighten up because I feel so attuned there. So I can identify with that. That's probably the holiest place there is for me on this planet. It probably is the holiest place. It's so interesting you talked about your office. I think that I probably made the people in my law office, in the law firm, a little bit hinky or woo 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 when I set up my little meditation corner on my desk. It has a little Zen garden, and it has some crystals, it has a little Buddha, arms outreached. I love Buddha, folks, because Buddha reminds me to stay in the now. He doesn't promise me I won't have suffering if I'm good. He just says, stay in the now. Just be your personal best. Live your life in harmony with others and ask yourself, what would I want people to do to me or for me if I was acting the way they are acting right now? Seeing more in someone than they are showing me. So I have my little Buddha there, and I also have something I want to share with Bob that he just reminded me of. One time when Mary Jane and Bob visited me from Santa Fe, they asked, what would I like? And I said, I'd like to have a heart crystal. I had had one, and Mary Jane has one, and I had given mine to my mother. And I just wanted to have one. And Bob went out and hand-selected the most beautiful black, I'm not sure what crystal type it is, heart. But here's what I want to tell you, Bob. Since we've begun the radio program, that heart is black. It was solid black. You couldn't even see any light in it.
And obsidian, then, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thank you. And now, cruising through the middle, because I took it to my office, hadn't seen it until I went into my office the first time last week, I think on Wednesday, and I looked down at the heart, and it now has, coursing through the middle, a white line.
Wow.
Yes. First impressions are not always accurate, folks. What you visualize and think you see in another is always hiding somewhere inside that being. A white light. Beautiful, beautiful with this heart. I was awestruck. Awestruck. It was just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Now, Bob, I didn't tell you I was going to talk about this, but I want to talk about what I know about Bob. Now,
okay.
When I first met Bob, besides the grocery store incident, was we talked on the phone periodically because we both intuit information the other can use to ease their life and their burdens. And so we're talking, and I would share things with him, and sometimes I would pass a message through our beautiful intermediary, the paste, the glue, the vibrancy and goodwill that runs between Bob and I, finds its genesis in this beautiful, beautiful soul, Mary Jane. So I would say Bob should call me, and he would call me, and we would chit-chat, and I suggested some books for him to read and so on. But one day in Santa Fe, we met at Tomasita's.
That's right.
As we sat at that table, Bob shared with me the story of a visit to Sedona. I had written down Sonora, but it was Sedona. And the wonderful story of synchronicity, manifestation, realization, all in those few hours he spent in that lovely city in Arizona. I've never been there, but I've heard of it. I know what it's about. So, Bob, I think that time in Sedona was a real opening experience for you. And before I ask you about that time, I want to share with those who are listening that it doesn't surprise me that Bob began meditating when he was a boy, a little boy, because Bob is barely more than a boy now. He is a young, young man who could be my son. How amazing that someone of Bob's youth would link up with someone of my age to deliver a message of love and light. Phenomenal. In Bob, I recognized, people use words like old souls. I'm not going to use that word. I'm going to say old wisdom. Knowledge, connection, receptivity that caused me to know I would never, ever, ever not know Bob again. That in this life, he would be a vibrant part of my life because I am more for knowing him. And it all started with a meeting in Albertsons, a few telephone conversations, a little directed reading, and Tomasita. And now, Bob, tell us about Sedona.
Wow, I had forgotten about Sedona. I hadn't forgotten that I've gone there a couple times. I'm trying to remember, actually, and maybe it's, you know, sometimes you have those things that you have the experience and you forget it. And I don't know why would I forget that experience, other than I remember that I was working on an Indian reservation and something told me just to go, you know, on my way home to go to Sedona. And I was driving back to New Mexico, I think. I'm sure I was. And I just remember feeling so peaceful there, and it's so beautiful, the rocks. And I remember going to a psychic there. I'm trying to remember what she told me. And for the life of me, I can't remember.
Well, I'll try to nudge your memory a little. Because of my profession, I'm paid to listen and paid to remember. So my recollection was that she talked about you moving into a new phase of your life and that you would find the tools you needed to accomplish that, and that you went to a bookstore and were immediately led to some books.
That's right. That's right. She told me it was actually the bookstore there in Sedona. I actually wasn't led to the book. You had told me about, I was led to the book eventually. You had told me about the book, and it was The Initiation.
Yes.
And I had asked them if they had it, and they were like, yeah, it should be over there. And I was like, no, I can't find it. And they're like, well, we must not have any. And I remember walking back over, and there was a picture frame up leaning against the bookcase. And I just happened to pick up the book, not the bookcase. I happened to pick up the picture frame that was sitting in front of the book.
Yeah.
And it was just happened to be right there. And I was just kind of led to that picture. And it wasn't where the book should have been. It must have been that somebody like myself who goes in a store and I pick up something and I put it back, not where it belongs, but put it back where I happen to be standing at the moment. And that's probably what happened, is that someone picked up the book, decided they didn't want it, put it back, and, you know, later on the picture frame got put in front of it. And, yeah, I was led right to that book. And I had been looking for it prior to that, too, and didn't find it.
And that cemented our relationship, not just the reading of the book, but the act of your finding the book. I knew that because that book is by Elizabeth Haik, H-A-I-C-H. It's tough reading.
Very tough reading. In fact, I gave that book to the same person that has the book by the Dalai Lama, the Compassion book, and I've only given that person two books.
So interesting. And so, folks, Bob and my union is basically intuitive. It's divinely inspired. I have no doubt that we will manifest all of the things that we talk about. And our ultimate goal is to help each and every person that we meet feel better about themselves. Now, there are days when we do not succeed, and I say that all the time because I'm human. I have feet of clay. During the month of October, I forgot to meditate. Instead, I focused only on trial. I wasn't myself without my connection opened, all of my chakras aligned with God. Now, today, Bob and I have taken the entire hour, and we haven't yet talked about doing a little guided meditation, and there's no time, so there won't be one today. But I wanted to let you know that the next guided meditation is going to be next week on Tuesday and Thursday, and we're going to move to a Tuesday and Thursday series, at least for a while, because I'm actually on my own again with my hip, and I'm getting kind of, it takes me a long time to do everything. And so two times a week will be the right thing for now. I look forward to each and every one of you calling in or checking in the archives, and I thank you for coming to our program. I'm going to let Bob say his goodbyes because we have about 39 seconds left, and I send to you namaste. May love enfold you. Peace be with you, my friends.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks to everyone for joining us today or later on. And may, as you go through the next couple of days, just take the times when you feel those intuitions and just follow up on them. Don't allow fear to block that intuition. Don't try to second guess it. Just have at it. And love one another and have a great, prosperous week. Thank you, everyone.
Bob?
Yep.
You can hang up. We just finished. We can talk on the phone. I think it was great.
Okay.